So, Manuel, you've been working on a pamphlet for the Bus Riders Union. You and I have been trying to scope out and think through this mayor's race for 4 years since we had our initial enthusiasms of a little bit about Mayor Hahn that were quickly dashed after he took office. Why don't you tell us, let's start with the Hahn Villaraigosa conflict, because I think there's a good chance those are going to be the two front runners who are going to make it into the runoff, but then we'll also discuss Hertzberg and Chief Parks, former Chief Parks, and Bernard Parks, City Councilman Parks, and Richard Alacon, the assembly person from the Valley. Why don't you start with maybe giving us some thoughts on how you're trying to scope out those two, and then we'll go to the other three.
Sure. Well, as you know, we've had complicated relationships with both of them, with James Hahn and Antonio Villaraigosa, many of them through different levels of relationships. So we look at, you know, James Hahn, as you said earlier, you were trying to allude to it. In 2001, when he was a mayoral candidate, he ran on a very, you know, like, just great positioning around the enforcement of civil rights and talked about the importance of complying with consent decrees. And at that time, you know, talking about, unfortunately, how the LAPD had dragged its feet on the consent decree for the police question. And so, you know, was one of the people who sort of took the front lead on that campaign, on that demand. Around back in 2001, our main demand back then was getting the MTA to get rid of their appeal of a 1999 order for 350 buses, and they had appealed it. And he, you know, took big leadership himself and also Javier Becerra, the congressman, and which forced in many ways Antonio Villaraigosa to take a really positive position of. Where we eventually got four of the major candidates. As you guys remember, we had six major candidates at that time. We have five this year, which included Kathleen O'Connell, included Joe Wax, Javier Becerra, Hahn, and Steve Sobroff, and Antonio Villaraigosa. And so we were able to sort of push the lever on our demands. And I think what we've been doing in the last couple of years is that our relationship with James Hahn, unfortunately, has deteriorated to the level where, you know, he no longer even returns calls. He no longer really talks about the importance of the consent decree as sort of as central as when he first ran it. And so what we're trying to sort of do right now is trying to understand two things. One is that clearly these are all, you know, liberal Democrats, progressive Democrats, more or less. And the biggest problem is, one, they've sort of they've answered us back to a questionnaire that we sent them about a month ago. And, you know, there's some varying degrees of what's good and bad inside each of them. But I think the worst part that's happening is that what they're doing in the campaign trail, though, is totally opposite to what they're saying. It's almost like knowing that we will eventually get to them and pressure them on our demands and even on the points that they've already made in responding to our questionnaire, it's almost like they're acting like they're in two different worlds. Like they could talk to the West Side about a red line to the sea or a choo-choo train to LAX or, you know, a train from East L.A. to San Fernando Valley. Where the hell are they going to get the money? It's not even clear where that money is going to be at. So what we're trying to comprehend right now is how to write something, because any of these candidates, whatever we write, any kind of criticism is going to blow up, you know, in the sense that they're not going to like it, because they usually like most people just to sort of lay out their, you know, a usually very general answers that they have to questionnaires, and that's it, with no commentary. And so we're trying to figure out sort of the delicate dance there of both raising criticisms, talking about the positive pieces of the response, and lastly, what we need to do to build a movement to actually hold them accountable to our demands and to what they've already promised.
And one thing, you know, is that for our listeners to understand is that Manuel and I both work at an organization called the Labor Community Strategy Center, and one of our projects is called the Bus Riders Union. And one of the things that is a little different about us is we know Mayor Hahn, and he knows us. We know Antonio Villaraigosa. We know Richard Alacon. They don't always answer our calls, but just like the other day, we had two meetings of the Environmental Executive Directors meeting. One was with Mayor Hahn trying to get votes, and one was with Antonio. As soon as Antonio Villaraigosa walked in the room, he said, uh-oh, I see Cynthia Rojas there. I know I'm going to get some hard questions. But the point was that was Cynthia Rojas is one of the lead organizers with the Bus Riders Union Strategy Center. And I would say half of the breakfast, he very respectfully kept referring to the Bus Riders Union Strategy Center, took our demands very, very seriously, and made some good commitments, which Manuel will go into the content of. Then the next week, we have an emergency meeting sort of to meet with Mayor Hahn, and the first thing he does is come up to Manuel and I and say, I don't like what you guys did on the police vote at all. I'm really angry at you. But the point is that another one of our organizers, Damon Azali, had spoken against the half-cent sales tax for more police. We don't want more police in L.A. We want less police in L.A. We want, if you decriminalize half the things that are now criminal, then you don't have to chase all the criminals because you're making people into criminals who aren't criminals. So, but the point was that even for Hahn to be able to say, I'm angry at you, and we could say back, yeah, well, we're angry at you, but it's a relationship. Then when he gave this speech, he said, I want to thank Eric Mann for all the buses you got in L.A. And, you know, for the Bus Riders Union, obviously. So the point I want to make is in terms of the show voices from the front line and in terms of how Manuel and I operate, we are trying to figure out and explain to you our opinions on the mayor's race, but not as isolated individuals sitting there going, gee, I wonder who I'm going to vote for. We're trying to figure out as a social movement what's best for the whole city, and we have a little bit of influence in the situation. Influence on in the general direction of who should be elected, but more importantly, influence on the candidate's behavior. So why don't you quickly, Manuel, go back to, so how we scoping them out, just starting with the two of them.
Well, you know, like I said, I think the first thing on Mayor Hahn is that he has been, a good advocate toward the consent decree, given that we have faced in the past, you know, votes that usually go 12-1. You know, in 1999, the only vote that voted against an appeal was, at that time, Zev Yaroslavsky, who now Zev also hates our guts in some level. But Mayor Hahn has been that voice that has at least in words said, hey, I think in the spirit of the consent decree, we should not appeal. We should more or less increase the fleet. But it has been, I would say, too absent, too removed, and at times not even being willing to move his own votes. Because, you know, everybody, I don't know everybody knows, but inside MTA, the mayor of Los Angeles controls basically three votes because he appoints three people and himself. That should almost look like four folks. That means he controls four votes. And usually you need seven votes to win anything. And what we've seen in the past, both in questions, important fights around the implementation of the consent decree orders, he's been absent, or he hasn't showed up, or can't even get any of his votes to even vote in favor of the consent decree. Or his last one, which was on the fare increase that went in effect last year in 2004, he could have controlled, basically killed that proposal by having Hal Bernstein, who was now a retired city council person from East San Fernando Valley, to basically vote against the fare increase, and he wasn't even able to tell Hal, take him to the back and say, Hal Bernstein, I need you to vote, you know, against this fare increase, you know. And so I think that's been usually the other side of Mayor Hahn, where in other words, even though he's been an advocate, he has not stepped up to the plate as the mayor of Los Angeles. Last stand, Antonio Villaraigosa, you know, his last stint has been, you know, a very positive one. We had him on the board from 2003 through to 2004, and has been a very important person, not only a voice like James Hahn, and in many ways moved James Hahn's even more positively. He's also been a person who was actually took in the fight outside of the realms of MTA. In fact, was very him and
Martin
Ludlow, right, City Councilman Ludlow, they passed a resolution in the LA City Council against MTA's appeal of the last order that came in January 12th. So, you know, I think one of the sort of themes that are happening right now is two things, is that almost everybody supporting bus-only lanes is one of the main things that we're pushing for right now. We think that this would reduce and handicap the car in many ways, would improve the lives of folks, you know, who depend on public transportation. Secondly, there seems to be more or less a general understanding of, yes, we want to reduce, we want to maintain the fares and have a moratorium on fares, but all of them sort of are not wanting to sort of take the extra step. You know, like, we're sort of in our evaluation of Antonio Villaraigosa, because he's saying, well, I can't really guarantee, you know, give him credit. He said, I can't guarantee no fare increase for 8 years. We're saying, well, what about, can you guarantee 4 years at least, given that they just raised the fares in 2004?
And then I think the last thing is that we believe that there should be a bus-centered, clean fuel, CNG bus-centered transportation in L.A., which is 4,000 square miles of L.A. County. Antonio knows how to get something done when he wants to. He circumvented the consent decree by passing, when he was the assembly speaker, he got $1 billion in state money out of nowhere to build the Pasadena Blue Line that turned into the Gold Line and may end up being the Platinum Line, but it was money that should have been used for the bus system. He has not protected any money for the bus system that's presently being raided. For those folks who live in the San Fernando Valley, I don't know if you know that this Wednesday night there's a meeting where they're going to discuss more bus cuts in the San Fernando Valley. So what happens is we win in court. The courts order the MTA to buy more buses. They buy the buses, but then they cut service somewhere else. So here's our point. Right now, when Antonio Villaraigosa talks about building a red line to the sea, he might as well go and get the Pentagon's budget, because it's going to cost $350 billion, no, $350 million a mile to build that subway before you even operate it. We've been asking all the mayoral candidates, and we ask you to do the same, will you please protect $1.5 billion for the Bus Riders Union bus system before you build another billion-dollar rail system that's going to go maybe 6 miles? So we have a dilemma where they're pretty good when they talk to us. They're decent on their written statements. But what they're telling the public is that they really want to go crazy and build all these rail projects. So we need your help to get them to at least say, before they build any rail projects, they're going to guarantee the money for the bus. And that means that you all are listening. You're going to have to be stronger than Tudor Saliva and all the other developers and all their friends who are going to get contracts. And that's the pressure the BRU needs to help with. Right? Manuel, I have a suggestion. We'll have another guest about to come. We're going to take a quick break. Can you do sound bites on the other three candidates, and we'll get discuss them next week after the election? When's the election?
Next week we can still discuss them because it will.
All right. So to be fair to Alakon and Parks, and we don't have to be that fair to Hertzberg because he hasn't talked to us or talked to anybody, but we'll talk about him anyway. So next Monday night, well, why don't we do that? Tammy will be on, right? Tammy Lou and I will be on, and we'll do the other three candidates. So with that, we are going to take a break. And then we'll be back with a guest that you're going to love. Jeremy.